Beautiful songs there coming from Sipongwenya. UJesu ufike kuseni ezokupha amandla amasha. Sebethi baqedile ngawe. Corpastor 5 at the time is here on the Adventist World Radio, powered of course by the SID Media. Welcome to it, 10th day of the 10 days of prayer. Wow, we have arrived. We have arrived. It's been quite an exciting journey for me. And I hope that to all of you, those who have been joining us on a daily basis, much appreciated. I do hope that it has been a fantastic, fantastic journey. More so to the pastor, our guest, Dr. Mbata, who has delivered the message from above with absolute astuteness. Good afternoon, Pastor.
Happy preparation day, Zama. Good afternoon to you.
Happy preparation indeed. I hope you've had a good day.
Zama, I don't want to lie. The week was so hectic. Sitting here, you know, I've been thinking about these 10 days of prayer, where we are coming from.
Yeah.
So where we are coming from, where we started, I did not know that we are going to arrive with this energy.
Yeah.
But we thank God because Isaiah chapter 40, when you read it from verse 28 through 31, Christ, God says he gives power, he increases strength to those who need mighty. And even the young men, they can actually fall, but they who wait upon the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that verse is practical to me.
Yes.
In the past 10 days,
waiting
upon the Lord, I've renewed my strength, and I'm happy, Zama, that we are here.
Oh, yes, man. Oh, yes. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited, Pastor, that indeed we have made it, and the God of heaven has been with us indeed. Well, it has been fulfilling. I do hope that those who have joined in on the Radio AWR app, and of course on Facebook and all other YouTube and all other channels have also been as equally blessed. Mfundis, without wasting much time, I must hand over to you.
Thank you very much, Zama. Let me take this time to greet all the viewers and the listeners of Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. I'm so delighted that God has been gracious to us. We have arrived to our day number 10 on the 10 days of prayer. Yes, brethren, where we started, indeed, it has been God who has been leading. Shall we pause for the word of prayer? Merciful, eternal, loving Father, in the victorious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we just want to say thank you, Father, for leading us thus far. If it was not you, God, we could have been this far, but we are here because of your mercy and because of your love. Loving Savior, we are inviting the presence of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us as we come to the 10th day in our 10 days of prayer. It is true that, God, without you, we can't do anything. But with you, we can do everything, because we know that we have God who has sustained us this far. Bless us as we are about to read your word. And Father, if there are some who are still sick, I pray that, God, may you heal your children even this afternoon. I pray that, God, if there are some who are still discouraged, I pray that, Father, may the spirit of courage rest upon your children at this present moment. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are on day number 10 on the 10 days of prayer under the theme that says priorities of faith, priorities of faith. We are going to look at the final lesson, even though tomorrow we'll be celebrating day number 11 on the Holy Sabbath. Please plan to be in the presence of the Lord even tomorrow. We are on day number 10. The topic this afternoon says, be rich in what matters, be more analog. Be rich in what matters, be more analog. Without any waste of time, let me read the first verse that the author has written in this article, Priorities of Faith. Let me read it in your hearing.
Mm.
And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let me read it again for control.
Yeah.
And let us not consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another as we see that the day of the Lord is drawing near. Beautiful text that talks about encouraging one another,
yeah,
to love and to do good works, but not neglecting to meet together. Yes, we must encourage each other to meet together as we are going to meet tomorrow to celebrate together in the presence of the Lord. Now, also, we must make it a habit to encourage one another. It should be our habit. It should be our custom. It should be our norm that we encourage one another. As we see the day of the Lord is coming near. Now, friends, without any further waste of time, also, the introduction of our devotion says, analog spirituality. Biblical spirituality is analog. I was looking at this word analog on the dictionary. Now, in a nutshell, it says tangible, not digital. So we can say biblical spirituality is tangible, not digital, or is practical. It is based on personal and tangible practices between real people and the living God. I love that on the introduction of the article. Now, when we say our spirituality must be personal and also tangible between the real people and the living God, I think I will make an emphasis on that, that our faith must be tangible. Our hope in Christ must be tangible, must be practical. Tangible things are by their very nature analog, not visual. So now we need a tangible faith. We need a practical faith. This afternoon, I'm going to talk about the tangible faith of Abraham, the tangible faith, the tangible hope of Abraham. Now, I need to make this quickly, this statement, and say tangible faith makes Christianity to be beautiful. Let me repeat that.
Yeah.
Tangible faith, it makes Christianity to be beautiful.
Mm.
Now, when you look at the story, the narrative of the three Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3, when they were thrown in the fire, no one was respecting the boys. But when they came out of the fire, now faith that is tangible, it beautifies Christianity. Just imagine how the three Hebrew boys were respected when they came out of the fire. I want to say, friends, when we exercise our faith in God, we'll be respected as well. And that makes Christianity to be more tangible and to be more practical as well as also beautiful. So tangible faith beautifies Christianity. I think that is where I can pause and say, tangible faith, it makes Christianity to be beautiful. When you read Romans chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, tangible faith, it makes Christianity to be beautiful. So faith purifies Christianity. When we put faith into practice, Christianity becomes beautiful. And also it attracts people. to love and to understand the God that we serve.
Mm.
So Romans chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, be more analog. Exercise a tangible faith in whatever you do. As it is written, I read it in your hearing.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist.
Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful text. That, you know, when God speaks to Abraham, the Bible says, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Friends, as you read, you know, I feel like this is just a punchline. Verse 18, in hope, he believed against hope. This is Abraham. So in hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. Friends, when you read about the tangible faith of Abraham, and when you read the book of Hebrews, and the author of the book of Hebrews says, now time will fail me. Friends, I want to say also, days will fail me. We are on day number 10. Time will fail me to tell you about the tangible faith. I cannot elucidate everything that has been written about Abraham. But the Bible says, the line that finishes me is the one that says, in hope, he believed against hope. This is tangible faith. Be more analog. You must be more practical. We can't be just coming here for 10 days and be theoretical. So this faith must be put into practice. So faith makes Christianity to look beautiful. Abraham saw the promise. That was the reason he didn't stagger. Faith is seeing the unseen. So Abraham, by faith, he saw the promises afar. And when you read the account of Abraham, be more analog. Faith and hope have the same source, which is the word of God. So faith and hope is built upon the word. And upon the word, the source of faith and hope is the word of God. When you read the word and you exercise your faith in God, and your hope also will be fertilized. Friends, as I continue with the presentation, be rich with things that matter. Faith is a living force targeting a goal set by hope. Let me repeat that.
Yeah.
Faith is a living force targeting a goal set by hope. So faith is a must. Faith commands blessings. Faith operates in the present tense. So faith is now. That is the reason why when you read Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Yeah.
Now faith. Friends, as we unpack the topic that says be more focusing on the things that matters, be rich in things that matters, be more analog. Now when you read Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, now faith is a substance. Now when you read that word faith, now faith, there is an adverb of time before the word pistis, which is faith. Now, adverb of time now, it means faith operates in the present tense. Faith operates in the now. So faith is now. Don't frustrate it by putting it off to the future. Whenever there is faith, remember, whenever there is faith, faith operates in the present tense. Faith works in the now. It brings results direct from God at its own instance. Whenever you exercise faith in God, be more analog. Focus on the things that are practical. Now, I want to talk about the visible manifestation of God. When we read Genesis 12, verse 7 and 8, I want to talk about Abraham this afternoon. The Bible says in verse number 7 in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. Let me repeat that. It's Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 and 8.
Yeah.
The Bible says, then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants, I will give you this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he, verse 8, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. The Bible says, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give you this land. So he built an altar to the Lord, a tangible altar. Be more analog. Be more practical. When God appears to Abram, the Bible says he built an altar to the Lord who appears to him. Then he goes on, the Bible says he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. He pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. There is something interesting about the God of creation in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, God speaks as he creates. He says, let there be light, and the light was there. He says, there be animals, and the animals were there. There be trees, and the trees were there. Now, when you read Genesis chapter 1, God speaks without appearing. When you read chapter 2, the Bible says, as he continues to create, and God says, now let us make man in our own image. But the Bible doesn't say he appears. When you read Genesis chapter 2, chapter 3, God calls on Adam and Eve without appearing. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, and the Bible says he walks in the garden, and the Bible doesn't use the word appears. And again, when you read Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, and God calls on Cain after killing his brother Abel, then God calls without appearing. There is something interesting about the God of Genesis. And again, in Genesis chapter 6, and God speaks to Noah without appearing. And when you come to chapter 11, and God also, he speaks. He says, let's come down and see the builders. And the Bible doesn't use the word appearing until you come to Genesis chapter 12. When you read Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, and God speaks without appearing. He speaks to Abram without appearing to him. When Abram was still at Haran, God speaks without appearing from verse 1 to verse number 7. And God speaks to Abram without appearing until you come to verse number 7. When God speaks to Abram, the Bible says, God of the universe becomes now a God of a family. He speaks to Abraham. He says, get out of your country. Get out of your kindred. Get out of your father's house. Get out from your people to the land I will show you. Then God goes on to say, I will make you a great nation. You shall be a blessing. When God calls, he qualifies those that he calls. Mm-hmm. He says now, I will empower you. I will bless you. He speaks to Abraham. He says, you shall be a blessing. Whatever you shall do, you shall be a blessing. Wherever you are going to be a blessing. He speaks to him without appearing to him. He uses the voice as he speaks to him. And the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, he leaves his people. Mm. He leaves his country. He leaves his father's house. He goes to the place that God is going to show him. As he goes, and the Bible says, moving from Haran, going to Canaan. For the first time we see, we are introduced to the theophany, to the visible manifestation of God.
Mm.
Now when you read verse 7 in the Bible says, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants, I will give you this land. There he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. Can I pause and say, friends,
yep,
listen to this one. The Bible says, God appears to him. He says, where you are, because you have arrived to the land where you are, I'm going to give it to your descendants.
Mm.
So God appears to Abraham. Oh, I love this one. Verse 7, the Bible says, then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants, this land, I'm going to give it to your descendants.
Mm.
Friends, when he was at Haran, God did not appear to him.
All right.
He spoke to him without appearing to him. So when he arrives in Canaan, God appears to him.
Uh-huh.
Can I say something profound here?
Yep, yep.
That when, if we have arrived to year 2024, you must praise God because you have arrived and you have seen this year.
Yes.
If we have arrived to the 10 days of prayer, we have completed the cycle of 10 days. Prayer and fasting, we have arrived, then we need to praise God. We need to exercise faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, the Bible says, when he arrives in Canaan and God appears to him, and for the first time, the reference to a divine theophany in Genesis, the visible manifestation of God is seen in this verse because Abraham has arrived. He has arrived in this place. And the Bible says, God, the God who appears to Abraham, he says, now where you are, the land where you are, I'm going to give it to your descendants. Then the Bible says, he built an altar.
Mm.
Be more analog. He built an altar to the Lord. The God who appears is worthy to be worshipped, friends. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this afternoon, the God who appears is worthy our praise. The God who appears is worthy to be worshipped. Now, he's worthy. He appears to Abraham, and he has appeared to us. Now, again, the God who appears to Abraham is the God who is worth our praise.
And
he appears to Abraham to remind him that I'm the Lord of the past, present, and future.
Mm.
Now follow the promise that his descendants will receive the land in which he has arrived.
Yeah.
Following this announcement, Abraham builds an altar to the Lord. Now I want to emphasize something here. In verse number 7, Abraham, he builds an altar of appearance. On verse number 8, he builds an altar of the promise.
Mm.
Now, when you read these two verses, the first altar in verse number 7 is the altar of appearance. When God appears to him, he builds an altar. If God has appeared to you this month, he is worthy your praise. If you have arrived in January 2024, then he deserves your gratitude.
Mm.
God deserves your gratitude. If he has been leading you till this far, then you need to praise him and worship him. He deserves your worship. He deserves your praise. And the Bible says, now Abram builds an altar of appearance. He doesn't say, God, now because you have appeared, now I'm comfortable. He says, I will build an altar of the Lord who has appeared to me.
Mm.
Offering can be taken for granted, friends, but offering can go a long way. Now, Abram, he builds an altar. He makes an offering on the altar. The altar of appearance on verse number 7. And the Bible says on verse number 8, so he moved from there. After building the altar of appearance, then he goes. He says, now let me note, I have not yet arrived to the spot where God wants me to be.
Mm.
He has just appeared now. Now I'm moving with God's agenda. Can I say something quickly, friends? What offering can do might be taken for granted, but offering can also benefit your household even when you are not there.
Yes, yes.
Offering can be a blessing to your descendants even when you are gone.
Yes.
What offering can do, it is based on your faith. Offering can open the doors. Offering praises to God can open the doors that are shut. Now, friends, the Bible says he built an altar and then he calls on the name of the Lord. Verse number 8, he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. Then he pitched his tent. Can I talk about two verbs before we go to the season of prayer?
Yeah.
The first thing that Abram does, the Bible says, he pitched his own tent. Now, when he arrives in this spot, Abram, he pitches his own tent. The word that is used there for pitching is wayed in original.
Mm-hmm.
Or kofer in original. So Abram, he pitched his own tent. Pitching, it means, is temporal. Now he says, for my tent, I will be temporal in this spot. I am temporal here where God you have led me.
Mm-hmm.
Now pitching, it means also seasonal. It means it's for the time being. So Abram says, God, I'm going to pitch my own tent. Then he goes on to say on verse 18, then he built an altar to the Lord. No, I love this one.
Mm.
He says, as for my tent, I'm going to pitch. But as for your altar, I'm going to build. I want to say this thing before we close the 10 days of prayer.
Yeah.
That, you know, we are experiencing a challenge in our Christian walk with God. Because the challenge is, we want to pitch on the things of God. And we want to build the permanent things on our own. Now, Abram says, for you to have a tangible faith, you must pitch on your own things and you must build the things of God.
Mm.
On the things of God, you must build. On your own things, you must pitch.
Mm.
The problem is that
okay.
we are leading the Christians that are pitching on the things of God and building their own legacy. So Abram says, for your altar, God, I'm going to build. So the word that is used there to build, it means permanent.
Mm.
It means it is fortified. It means it is original. It means it is unmoved. So Abram says, I am building the altar even if I am gone. People that will come after me, they will know that there was a man who worshipped a God of the universe on this spot.
Yeah.
Abraham is at length divinely informed that he is in the land hereafter to be his. He was at the spot where the great temple to be set by his descendants would stand. Again, here he built an altar. It was doubtless a very plain altar of rough stones, but largely enough for the sacrifice to be offered on this altar. It will have little attraction in the eyes of many, but it will be if it will be approved by God, it is fine. So Abraham, he built this altar. It was built entirely in the honor of God. There was no self-glorification in it. It was erected as a spontaneous act of gratitude.
Right.
The men of Babel, when they were building the tower, they sought to get the name for themselves. But Abram says, this altar is the altar of appearance because God has appeared to me. So be more analog. Be more practical. You must exercise a tangible faith. So Abraham, by building an altar, he seeks to honor God's name. His act was a protest against the prevalent and surrounding idolatry. This was the first altar that was built in Canaan to the great I Am. So Abraham, a man of practical faith, he built an altar. Now, this is the point that I want you to remember. It was an expression of Abraham's desire to acknowledge the divine guidance in his past life.
Yep.
That is point number one. Remember this one. This was an expression to Abraham's desire to acknowledge the divine guidance in his past life. He found a joy to be under the leadership of God. Wherever Abraham had his tent, God had his altar. In how many families is the altar in need of repair today? In how many families is the altar of the Lord must be repaired? In many, it has been set up, but there is no perfect offering on top of the altar.
Mm.
There is no submission on the altar. Friends, we must not act as if God is secondary. We must always put God first. Abraham says, for my tent I will pitch, as for your altar I will build. Point number two, this tent was, it expressed Abraham's dependence on the mercy revealed through the propitiation sacrifice. That the sacrifice was appeasing to God, was acceptable. He evidently believed in an atonement. After he had offered the sacrifice, then he knew that he's acceptable and the sacrifice is appeasing to God. It meets the standard. He found that God was brought near through the sacrifice, even though he has discovered the fact that it is only through the blood of Christ at Calvary that brings us closer. But Abraham, he says, this altar brings God closer. Friends, I want to say before we pray, point number three, this altar, it expresses also Abraham's readiness to consecrate himself entirely to God. He says, entirely, I'm giving my life to you, God. This altar expresses Abraham's readiness to consecrate himself entirely to God. An altar that failed to express this would mean mockery. If the altar does not express the manifestation of God, that altar is nothing but mockery. God is not flattered by the outward show of reverence. Yes. He must have inner and absolute consecration if we are to know the heights of spiritual power. God is not impressed by the outward show of reverence, but when our hearts are connected with Him, we must be more analog. Friends, I want to say, finally, point number four. This altar, it expressed to Abraham's faith in the fulfillment of divine promises. Abraham was already in the land of promise. He could leave the future to God's hands. He says, this altar is an expression that my faith is fulfilled to God. He was, and by rearing this altar again, taking possession of the land for himself and of the world for God. He says, now this is the altar. The Bible says, then he called on the name of the Lord. I want to say, before we pray, let's call on the name of the Lord, friends. When we exercise tangible faith, let's call on the name of the Lord. Oh, he calls on the name of the Lord. Who is this God that Abraham called? Jehovah is his name. Exodus 15 verse 3. So Abraham, he calls on the name of the Lord. His name is Jehovah. Oh, Abraham calls on the name of the Lord. His name is Jehovah, God's the covenant. Genesis 2 verse 7. His name is Jehovah, a covenant God. Oh, Abraham, he calls on the name of the Lord. His name is Jehovah Adonai, the Lord our master. Genesis chapter 18 verse 3. So Abraham calls on the name of the Lord. Who is this God? His name is Jehovah El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty. So Abraham calls on the name of the Lord. Who is this God? His name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Exodus 15 verse 26. And Abraham calls on the name of the Lord. Now upon the altar, who is this God? His name is Jehovah Elohim, the Lord the creator. Genesis 1 verse 1. Oh, he calls on the name of the Lord. His name is Jehovah Barashith, Bara Exin Hilo. He created out of nothing. Oh, Abraham calls on the name of the Lord. Who is this God? His name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider.
Yes, Genesis 22, yes, man. Yes, 14. Man.
Mm. So Abraham, he calls on the name of the Lord. Who is this Lord? His name is Jehovah Shammah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is ever present.
Hallelujah.
When you read it in Ezekiel 48, verse 35, the Lord is ever present.
Yeah.
And Abraham, he calls on the name. Jehovah is his name. Jehovah Mikadesh, the Lord, our sanctifier. Leviticus 20, verse 7 and 8. He calls on the name of the Lord.
Yes.
So Abraham, he calls on the name of the Lord. Who is this Lord? His name is Jehovah Shammah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord of our peace.
Oh, yes.
Judges chapter 6, verse number 24. He calls on the name of the Lord.
Yes.
His name is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, our shepherd.
Yeah.
Psalm 23 verse 1, finally, and Abraham calls on the name of the Lord. Jehovah Tzidkenu is his name, Jehovah our righteousness. He calls on the name of the Lord. His name is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Exodus 17 verse 15, he calls on the name of the Lord. Who is this God? His name is Jehovah Elkanah, a jealous God. Friends, let us be more practical. Let us be more analog. Let us be more tangible in whatever we believe into. Let's cling to the promises of God. Let's hold on to the promises of Yahweh. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord sustain us from now until he comes again. May the Lord encapsulate us in the palm of his hand. May the hand of God be upon each and every one of us. Friends, I want to submit that for 10 days, God says, whatever we have learned at the feet of Jesus, let us be more practical. Let us be more analog. Let us exercise a tangible faith. Faith that purifies Christianity. I want to say, you want to go and knock on that door as you ask for a job, go and grab it by faith. As you're preparing for that interview, go and grab it by faith. I want to say, maybe you are sick and I want to give you an assurance. By faith, call on the name of Jesus.
Oh yes.
He will heal you. His name is Jehovah Rapha. I want to say, friends, believe in the Lord. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Grab it. It's yours. That education, that school that you have applied, that university, go with that strength. Go by faith. When you stand, don't be apologetic. Go and say, by the faith in God that I serve, it shall happen. May the Lord bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.